The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. The church on this Sunday morning gives us this gospel story about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And it's not only because it's meant to, you might say, frame our preparation for Holy Week, but because it is what Jesus did just before he entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Jesus, in this event, was teaching his disciples lessons that you and I are asked to reflect on, to understand, in anticipation of Holy Week. Jesus worked the miracle of the raising of Lazarus after 4 days in the tomb so that we might believe certain crucial truths, so that we'll be better able to grasp the things that are going to occur during Holy Week in Jerusalem. And I'd like to focus on just three of those truths that were given in this gospel passage. The first lesson that Jesus teaches in this miracle is that he's willing to die for each one of his disciples. Now, they all recognize that Jesus was risking his own life in going back to bring Lazarus to life. And you and I know by hindsight that their worst fears would come true. Jesus would be captured, he'd be tortured and killed. And he would indeed give his life to return Lazarus to life. But he loved his friend Lazarus enough to do this. About a week later, Jesus would say at the Last Supper, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends." The central truth, then, that Jesus wants us to take in, to capture, is that we also are his friends, and that out of love he went up the mountain to Bethany, not just to bring Lazarus back to life, but to give his life to bring you and me back to life. And right after he speaks about laying down one's life for friends, he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you servants because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." The second truth that Jesus gives us through this miracle of Lazarus is his power over death, so that you and I might have faith in what he said would happen to him after his own death, so that we'd have faith in what he has said will happen to us after our own death. He knew that his disciples would have a difficult time maintaining hope after what is about to happen to him. He wanted to give them a clear example that with God, all things are possible. And he wanted them to witness again that he is the Lord of life, the one sent to fulfill the prophecy announced in Ezekiel in our first reading, that God would open your graves and bring you up from your graves, that he would breathe life back into dry bones. And so it's by raising Lazarus that Jesus manifests both his power and his desire that we also share in his resurrection in a completely new state of life from which we would never again die. And so this is, I would say, the second truth that Jesus wants us to understand, to believe, because of this story of the miracle in Bethany. There's a third one I'd like to mention, and that is that Jesus shows us what resurrection and life really are. And Jesus wants us to recognize that resurrection and life are really a person, or more specifically, more correctly, a relationship with a person. And that person is, of course, Jesus Christ himself, who said, "I am the resurrection and the life." To be risen from the dead, to be fully alive, means to be in a living, loving relationship with Jesus Christ, who teaches us that resurrection and life are not meant to be put off to sometime in the future, after the end of our earthly life. Now, you and I are actually supposed to enter into the resurrection and life. We are to enter into eternal life right here on earth. We're to experience these in the present through a right relationship with Jesus Christ and with his Spirit, which he's given us. In the second reading that we had today, St. Paul describes this reality. And St. Paul writes, "If Christ is in you, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life. He will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you." And so it's clear that Jesus not only wants us to experience his resurrection and life in eternity, but right now, although in a different way than Lazarus received this life. For us to experience it, we need not only to change our, probably change our understanding of Jesus a little bit from a concept, from a historical figure, and certainly think of our Lord Jesus Christ as a living, acting, breathing, loving Savior who is present to us right now. This last couple of weeks, I've been reading from Volume 2 of Pope Benedict's personal meditations on Jesus of Nazareth. It's very slow reading. It's really just beautiful to go very slowly to meditate on what our Holy Father writes. But he describes this reality in similar words, and I just have picked out a few words of what Pope Benedict says. "A distinguishing feature of the disciple of Jesus is the fact that he lives. Beyond the mere fact of existing, he has found and embraced the real life that everyone is seeking. The early Christians called themselves simply the living. They had found what all are seeking, life itself, full and hence indestructible life. God becomes accessible to us through the one he sent, Jesus Christ. It is in the encounter with Jesus Christ that we experience the recognition of God, recognition that leads to communion and thus to life. Eternal life is a relational event." So, how is it exactly that you and I encounter Jesus as the resurrection and the life now? Well, of course, it's essential that our hearts, our whole beings, be capable of a humble, childlike awe and amazement of who he is, what he has done for us, and what he wants to give us. And our hearts, our whole beings, must be open to him. Jesus' plan, as you probably heard me put it in these same words before, his plan is to save us all together, to bring us all together in his church to God his Father, to God our Father. And he created the sacraments as his greatest gifts for us to enter into his risen eternal life by way of a much deeper and personal relationship with him. The sacraments make possible our passage from death into eternal life. And we know that three of them are really crucial for us, including, of course, baptism, by which we die with him and rise with him, Eucharist, which Jesus explicitly told us is the way for us to enter into his life when we eat his flesh and drink his blood. And then there's the almost forgotten sacrament, which the early church fathers called our second baptism, which is confession. And whenever we're spiritually dead through serious sins committed after our baptism, when in effect we've chosen to evict the supernatural life from our souls by choosing, so to speak, Barabbas over Jesus Christ, even though our souls are emptied of the presence of the Trinity, God still does not give up on us. And so he's given us, by way of his apostles, on Easter Sunday evening, the sacrament of confession, so that we might experience the full fruits of his resurrection in this life. And like the good father of the prodigal son, God our Father literally runs out to meet us in joy when we choose to come to life again in this beautiful sacrament. So baptism, Eucharist, confession, each one of the sacraments is supposed to do in us what Jesus did in Lazarus, and actually even more. Just as Jesus asked Martha, he asked each one of us individually, do you believe this? Do you believe in my love? Do you believe my promises about the resurrection and the life? Do you believe when I tell you this is my body given for you? Do you trust in me when I say this is the cup of my blood shed for you?